We do have an unbalanced schedule. By that, I mean not everybody plays the same teams home and away. And depending how the schedule comes out some years, you can have a pretty darn tough schedule. I mean, it's all relative, but still, there's some teams you have a better chance to beat on the road than others. So I think that's one of the main reasons why we all, the coaches, felt we should have 10 teams in, because of that unbalanced schedule. It's not equal. So let's get everybody in the playoffs and at least give the players some life, some hope, and for a second season, and have a chance.
Who do you think, or who do you see challenging to play in the top six forward group, the first two lines?
That's a good question, and I think I'll start that by saying, you know, we have some established players who've earned those roles, and obviously I'd start with Blake Pietola, Tanner Carroll, David Johnstone, and Alex Patan. I mean, they've proven at this level that they can score and score on a consistent basis and play against other teams' top players. Reed Sturrows had a very strong year last year. He's only a freshman, though, so I think he still has to do some things and earn some time up there, but he should be one. I'm expecting him to be in that group. And then from there, it's wide open. I think it's wide open. We've got a couple freshmen that we expect to push for roles on that up there. Like I said, a kid like Tyler Hainanen, or, you know, even a kid like Blake Piella, who's a scorer and might be a nice fit on one of those lines. So he's going to be a senior. He's been around the block. So we have a number of players. You know, Mike Neville, I thought, had a tremendous year. I'm already envisioning who I'm going to play Mike Neville against night in and night out. You know, he can play against any team's top centers, and I feel comfortable. I mean, he's proven, he's gained your trust as a coach to play especially well defensively, and then I expect him to add more offensively. So he's another player. But we've got a number of players that, you know, will have the opportunity. And that's part of when you don't have exhibition games or any games that don't really mean a whole lot, you can experiment and you can get a feel for who plays well with each other. But we don't have that luxury. So we sort of have to go based on practice and who's doing what and who looks good together. And then, you know, the games start, and then we'll see if they can actually do it in a game.
The next question, Coach, is with the decision on the O'Bannon decision there, do you feel that's going to affect college hockey at all, or will it be restricted to football and basketball?
Yeah, I think they're referring to the Ed O'Bannon, the UCLA, and universities making money and using the likeliness of college player, and whether it's selling jerseys or whatever it might be. So
this is paying them after then, right after they get done graduating? Is that what I understand?
Well, I don't know if it's paying them. I haven't read through it all. Okay. I followed it loosely, but I think it's more of a football, basketball thing. I don't think it's going to affect hockey as much as those sports, definitely. So, but we'll see, because obviously in hockey there's a lot of good players now and signing some good contracts coming out of college hockey. So, but I don't know if we use the players as much as football and basketball, right, to promote the universities do their sports.
If we went to half shields, we could.
if we went to half shields or no shields, you know, it's hard to see who's who.
That's right. There are a number of rumors circulating, Coach, about movement coming among schools in NCAA hockey. What are your thoughts on the possibility of more changes coming in league and school alignments in the near future?
Well, that's a good question. I know that question will come up a lot, and I think will continue to come up as we go forward. I mean, one of the big articles that I saw, I think, was Arizona State. Was it Arizona State or University of Arizona adding hockey? Mm. Anyway, I know the athletic director has come forward, and I believe it's Arizona State, and said, you know, he would really like to add men's ice hockey. So, you know, I think that whole Pac-10 has some real possibilities. You know, I know there's some gender equity issues and whatnot, some hurdles to get over. But when you see them talking like that, then you never know. But, yeah, I think right now things have quieted down. Things are fairly stable. So I haven't heard a lot of talk about league shifting. But I know there's always going to be some talk. And as things play out and see how the leagues do with our league playoffs and whatnot, but there might be some rearranging down the road, but it's quieted down for now.
What are the biggest keys in turning around the offensive numbers, Coach, from last season, where the offense was ranked 43rd and the power play 49th, respectively?
Yeah, and that's a good question, and I think just having a healthy Blake Pietola, I think you realized last year, I think he had one goal at Christmas time,
he did,
and we were expecting expecting big things out of him. And David Johnstone was hurt, I think, that first weekend in Duluth, concussions, and we missed him. So we took in, and then we had lost Juju Arcara also. So we had lost three pretty big pieces that we were expecting to have good offensive numbers. So I think just having Blake healthy, he had wrist surgery way back in June. He's completely healthy, and you know, David's feeling better than he ever has, and we have to keep him healthy. So I think staying healthy is going to be one of the keys. But and now we have some, you know, like I said, some upperclassmen. So I think we're going to get off to a good start. Our power play came around late last year. I feel really good about our power play and the pieces we have there. So and obviously you just have to finish. I think our schedule, we had so many road games right off the get-go too, and our non-conference game. So I think you know, playing a little bit more at home, and that also will help our offense. But you know, we have to make sure we finish. You know, we're going to get opportunities. We just have to be hungry around the net.
Any chance of playing a Hockey East team in non-conference in the future?
Yes. You know, we've talked to a couple Hockey East teams. We've talked to a couple ECAC teams. I know Rick Bennett and myself at Union College have talked quite a bit, and talked to Seth Appert at RPI. We talked about possibly going out there and playing each one of them, since they're right both in Albany. So, but yeah, there's been some talk. You know, David Quinn very well at Boston University, and we've gone back and forth. And the problem there is they've got so many teams that are so close to them that we got to get them to travel. You know, that's a whole key, is getting those teams to want to travel and, you know, coming to play us versus playing a Cornell or somebody out east. So, but we're working on that. I'd like to do that.
It's a different culture out there, isn't it?
Well, it is, but, you know, I think it's changed, though, a lot. I think there's, you know, more teams that are willing to make some trips and looking to do that. And I think once Michigan comes here, I think they'll have a positive experience. And as coaches talk, they'll say, hey, we had a great time up there. It was a great trip. I'd go back there. Then obviously that gets coaches thinking, well, gee, maybe we'd like to make a trip up to the birthplace of professional hockey.
How much does the time of the year depend on getting some of these teams, like Red coming up with Michigan?
Well, yeah, and then the Big Ten is backloaded their schedule. They don't want to start till really Thanksgiving time. The Nacho has tried to do that. Our league has done that also. We're trying to do that, even though we're playing Lake Superior right off the bat. That was just a scheduling quirk with a coaching change that we had to do that. But I think it's important. So everybody's trying to save that first month of October really for your non-conference game.
But I was even talking about weather-wise. I mean,
well, sure, weather-wise, too. Oh, yeah, yeah. And that's a good time to travel, hopefully, in October here in the UP. We're still leaves are still on the tree and the snow hasn't fallen. But I think people will want to come in here. And as our team gets more competitive, you know, you want to play good teams. You want to play teams that will help you in the RPI, and I think that's the way a lot of teams are looking at it too. I mean, they want to play teams that they feel have a chance to do well in that season. So hopefully we'll get some of those teams on the schedule.
31 on the roster, Coach. Do you expect 31 at the start of the season?
I do. I do. I know it's a big roster, but you know, as I talked in the past, we didn't want to just get rid of some players and whatnot, and you know, I'd like to get it down to 28. That would be a little bit better number. But at this time, we're 31, and it's a full locker room, and it's going to be very competitive, and I think competition is a good thing.
Coach, that's it for our questions. Thanks again to all of the listeners for doing that, and we'll try to sneak one more in here if we can before the actual season starts, and get more on as we get closer to the season, if you're up for that, Coach, which I know you always are.
Definitely, and we'll try to reach out and get Coach Berenson on the air. I know he'd like to talk about his time here in the Copper Country and his memories of coming up here and playing, and then looking forward to coming up and playing us. So I think that we'll round him up and get him on the radio with us next time, Dirk.
Can you believe it? October 4th, the first game, jumping right into it against Lake State.
It's exciting, and I know our players are anxious to get going, and you know, there's a lot of buzz in the air about this team this year, and I'm looking forward to it.
All right, Coach, thanks for your time. We'll look forward to the next edition of the Mel Pearson Show. And of course, if you're a sponsor out there and want to sponsor the Mel Pearson Show during the regular season, you can call our offices at 482-3700. Coach Mel Pearson, thank you very much. Thank you, listeners, and we'll have another one real soon here on Mix 93 WKMJ.